This is the Sunday Times Politics Weekly, where we unpack the week's big political stories. I'm Mike Siluma. Thank you for joining us. Today on the Politics Weekly, we look at one of the most important events on this year's political calendar, which is the ANC's policy conference, which is in preparation for the organization's national conference, which is happening in December. Hypothetically, if the proposals of the policy conference are adopted in December, they should feed into government policy and impact directly on your life and mine. With us for today's conversation, Kotato Madisa, who's been on the show before. He's the Sunday Times political reporter, as well as William Gumete, who's associate professor at the School of Governance at Wits University.
With immediate effect.
When people saw us,
and I quote, in 2 years' time, Eskom's problems will be a thing of the past. People won't even remember load shedding, unquote.
They put saliva on the paper.
I'm in charge. That's why these fools are running around here. I'm in charge.
And then they share that zone.
Point of order, Chairperson.
Order, Chairperson.
Point of order, ruling party by
point of order.
Must step aside within 30 days.
No, I'm not going to apologize.
He has no brains whatsoever.
The ANC president was sabotaged again yesterday.
Well, sabotage, that can be.
This is not a shit.
Can you please come in?
Point of order.
Welcome to the both of you. So let's start with you. You know, from an ordinary South African's point of view, the ANC has got so many meetings. I mean, there are provincial meetings, like they had in KZN last week. There's the NEC, there's the NWC, there's the this, other, you know, all these many committees. And then there's the conference in December. The policy conference, where does it fit in that calendar of the ANC's political activity for the year?
So, if you remember what happens at the national conference, the party adopts certain positions on several issues that affect the country. Those issues that they would have adopted at the national conference, like the upcoming one in December, feed off from this policy conference of this nature, where this is where they actually debate it, and this policy conference will then make recommendations based on what the delegates that are coming to it have sort of agreed on. So they will speak about, you know, they will make recommendations to the national conference in December on issues such as, you know, what happens to Eskom, the issue of load shedding, the energy sector, the economy of the country, unemployment. So they will then make a recommendation on several issues, most of which would have come from, well, the policy documents that were released a few months ago, but also what the provinces themselves believe should be the direction the party should be taking. Some of them will obviously be provincial, province-centric. You know, they have their own issues. Mpumalanga, you know, it's where most of these power stations are, so they'll discuss all of those issues based on what, you know, the provinces believe the party should be, where the party should be heading, rather.
So the role of the policy conference is more a one of recommending policy direction to the December conference.
Definitely. So there won't be sweeping changes that will be made on Monday, for instance, okay, when the conference concludes. They will make recommendations, but most of the time, the recommendations that a policy conference makes are adopted at the conference in December, but that's the conference that makes the final decision. There will be commissions at the national conference in December to, you know, further discuss or debate some of these issues that would have been discussed here. But the policy conference is specifically, you know, for that, so that, you know, you don't have to focus on so much policy discussions at the December conference. Okay. So they then give themselves, as ANC, time, 6 months. It's usually around 6 months or so before the national conference. So let's say the provinces' positions on this, on some of these issues, wouldn't normally change drastically between now and
in the
December.
6 months.
Yeah, so that's why you then allow them to have their conferences, to have their provincial general councils, to make these recommendations. Just and then you then come and you know formulate a position that at this conference, at this policy conference, to make those recommendations 6 months from now.
And who attends this conference? You know, because it sounds like it's a very important conference. If it's making policies that then go to the national conference, it sounds like it's from a policy-making point of view, like a very important forum. So who attends it?
So it would be delegates from all these provinces. So so these provinces will then sit, would have sat in their PGCs and nominated people to go to these conferences. But the branch, but it's, the ANC always has says this thing that, you know, conferences of the ANC are conferences of branches. So you will then have delegates from different branches, but they obviously come as a province. They don't normally want to say that, but you know, you can't have a delegate from branch or Ward 11 in Mpumalanga sitting with someone from another ward in Soweto. So they do come together like that as provinces.
And there's a provincial position.
And there's a provincial position that would have been adopted at the provincial conferences or the provincial general councils.
Okay. Prof. Kumete, I'd like for you to come in here. Khutatso says that at the policy conference, there are debates that happen there. How much debating actually does occur, do you think?
Mm-hmm. You know, a few years ago, if you remember, under the Mbeki presidency, these policy conferences were then really contested. Policies were contested, and there was very vigorous debate. I think it, under the Jacob Zuma presidency, the debate over policy really declined. And my sense is most probably now that policy will be less emphasis on policy at this policy conference, and the focus really is going to be most probably only on one policy. My sense is that's step aside policy. Policy most probably is going to dominate everything. Because extraordinarily, what is happening this year ahead of the ANC's national conference in December, of course, this year, it seems as, you know, there's a really big focus really on the sitting president and whether he will be elected or not, or whether he should stand down or not over Farmgate. And my sense is that most probably we're not going to see the sort of the Mbeki years type of quality policies and diverse policies. Thirdly, it's going to be, I think, you know, the big focus is really going to be around the step aside policy of the ANC. And also, sadly, if you look at all of the policy documents, and I've gone through them, really, I think they all are of very poor quality. There's nothing new. There's nothing exciting about it. In fact, it seems it's a bit of a rewriting of old policies. And most of the policies actually seem totally irrelevant for our times, for the kind of problems that we are dealing with in the country. And sadly, if you look at the policy documents, they're not speaking to the biggest financial crisis, in generations in South Africa, to do, of course, with the post-COVID financial crisis and now the impact of the Russia-Ukraine war, high unemployment, deep poverty, power outages and so on. You know, the policy says or discussing documents say nothing about these really critical issues for the country.
And you know, someone in the ANC might say, I mean, you are saying that there's nothing new in the documents. Someone might say, yeah, but that's precisely the point, that they would like to, it's important to have continuity, that you don't change your policies now and again. What do you think that might be a defensible position?
Absolutely, it is not a defensible position. I mean, we are seeing the biggest crisis in generations, and old policies won't do. So a rehash of policies or dressing up old policies into new is not going to help us here. Yeah, we're going to have to be creative. We're going to have to be imaginative. So the old way of thinking, prior to the financial crisis now, it's not going to work for us. And that is why it's, you know, the expectations really for this conference was really to see totally new policies. policies that are relevant for our problems. I mean, we've got, I'll just say one of our problems is the country really is a breakdown of rule and order in our country. There's a social disorder in our country, which makes it very difficult to create jobs, you know, to bring in new investment. And also we've got skills are leaving the country because of the breakdown in the rule and order. There has to be a policy that speaks to that. So, so old policies cannot be dressed up to deal with it because the old policies clearly hasn't worked. So I think we expected that the ANC really a year will come up with new policies, because even the Ramaphosa presidency itself has been criticized for not coming up with anything imaginative to deal with our really pressing problems. And that is why there's been such an expectation for this policy conference to come up with new policies. And that is, I think, why this policy conference has been such a letdown for many people. The normal excitement that used to be in the past around these policy conferences are gone now, because I think people are just so deflated, particularly because they don't see anything new, anything fresh, or anything imaginative in these policy documents.
Okay. Hey, Hotatso, Professor Kumede says the quality of the documents this time round and the focus, you know, has been a letdown. And he seems to think that the most important policy proposal will be around the step aside rule, you know, of the ANC. Let's talk about that, you know, maybe starting at what the KZN Provincial Conference said about it last weekend.
The professor is on the money, is 100% correct. You do get a sense that the ANC is going to spend a lot of time, most of this conference, debating what to do with the step-aside resolution. So what happened in KZN? One of the things that came out was that the conference, the provincial conference, which elected the new leadership this past weekend, they took a position that the step-aside resolution must be scrapped altogether. Limpopo seemed to have taken a similar position at their provincial general council. Mpumalanga is also expected to make a similar suggestion, but theirs will most probably be that it must be reviewed. Limpopo had initially said that going to the PGC, but we understand that the branch delegates from there said it must be scrapped. This resolution of step-aside is very contested, because what it says is if you are charged with, you know, either corruption or what they say is serious crimes, you need to either vacate your position or you get suspended if you fail to do it voluntarily. It also, so the NEC then, the National Executive Committee of the ANC, which is the, you know, highest decision-making structure between conferences, then says to strengthen the step-aside rule, we are going to start blocking people, or we are going to make this rule even stronger by blocking people from even contesting for positions. So what would happen is you'd be a leader would be affected by the step-aside rule, so they would have vacated their position. But then they then get elected, or they stand for positions at these conferences. They then get elected, but they can't do their work because immediately after getting elected, they then have to vacate because they are on step-aside. So they then said, no, we need to put a stop to that by, prohibiting you as someone who's affected from standing altogether. You can understand how what that then does to the political activism of certain leaders who would be popular in their provinces and whatnot. So in KZN, you have several people who have been affected. In Limpopo, you have, you know, the likes of Denim Caesar, who has also been affected and was unable to stand for the position of provincial secretary. In the Free State, you have the likes of Ace Mahashule, who does want to contest in December, but will definitely be barred by this step-aside rule. So this, you understand that this, you know, these people will now go into this policy conference looking at what this rule does for politics, for their favorite politicians or leaders going into December, where they would have wanted either of them to challenge, you know, the current sitting president Cyril Ramaphosa or contest other positions in the national leadership, either the national executive or the top top six positions. So they'll go into this conference debating whether this rule has been applied fairly, whether it's necessary. But I always say this when, you know, these provinces come up with this, that it is, the party is very inward looking now, because the rule itself is, the rule itself is supposed to cleanse the party of this stench, this stain of the party being associated with corruption. So now these provinces like KZN and Limpopo, they are not suggesting what should then be put in place. In place of the step-aside rule that they now want scrapped.
But I have to ask you this, that one would have thought, because this step-aside rule thing would have come through the NEC. Wasn't it adopted by the NEC?
The rule
is this, is it just the because a lot of people say, well, it's Cyril Ramaphosa's baby, this thing. You know, he's the one who came with this thing and he's using it for whatever, you know. Is that accurate? I mean, my understanding was that the NEC of the ANC would have adopted it.
So the rule is a conference resolution, which is the highest decision-making structure. So the 2017 NASREC conference mandated the NEC to say, we've adopted a rule that says we need to cleanse the party of the stench of corruption. You guys need to now formulate a way or a document or, you know, a rule that then could assist the party with, you know, cleansing itself of corruption and whatnot. So it's a conference resolution, but the NEC was mandated to deal with it. That's how then the rule, that's how then they then come with the step-aside rule, that document that was formulated by the Treasurer General and Acting Secretary General Paul Mashatile. They went and got legal advice on what this means, how could they formulate it. But it is a conference resolution. NEC is merely just, doing a duty that they were given by the conference. So it's not a Cyril Ramaphosa rule. It's not a Gwedemantashe or a Paul Mashatile rule. It's a conference resolution. However, these provinces feel that the manner in which it was changed or amended when the NEC then started dealing with it properly to only say those who have been charged, when the conference resolution also says you must vacate your position if you're facing allegations. So the NEC then removed the allegations part of it. They believe that political opponents can deal with each other by making spurious allegations against each other just to see you out of your position. So they then removed the allegations part of it and they left, they then confined it to criminally charged. The provinces are not happy with that because, you know, they would believe that this would be done to deal with political opponents because whoever is in charge would be able to control, the NPA or the Hawks or whatever. Whether that's accurate or not, we don't know. Mm-hmm. But they are saying either take it to its original meaning, which says whoever is facing allegations must step aside or get rid of it altogether.
But before I bring in Professor Kumede, is this a real dispute or point of difference, or is this smoke and mirrors basically? You know what? Because one would have thought that it's very obvious, you know, that any political organization wanting to be taken seriously would say no corruption. People who are accused of being corrupt or wrongdoing must step aside. You know, we cannot have people like that in our leadership positions. So are we perhaps not being sidetracked with smoke and mirrors?
Look, I doubt it. If you look at what the newly elected provincial secretary of the KwaZulu-Natal, Peggy Mtolo, said, he said at the closing of the conference that you can't have a rule that is celebrated by people who are not in the ANC. So he's saying this step-aside rule seems to be celebrated by other political parties, other business people who are not ANC members. So then it shows that there is a problem with it, because if it's our internal document, it should be serving us. We should be able to celebrate it. So we want it scrapped because it's divisive. It's being used. It's being used for political fighting. It's not being applied fairly. It's been tweaked several times by the NEC and so there. So I don't think, from where I'm sitting, I could be wrong. I don't think it's smoke and mirrors. It really is a battle because the ANC is now fighting on who should legitimately lead the party. Mm. Everything else seems secondary.
Okay. Now, Professor Kumete, if the leadership issue is the most important thing, you know, including the step aside thing, and you alluded to this earlier, you know, in the conversation, what does it tell us about the state of the ANC that the issue of leadership and the question, and that they are haggling about who should step aside and who shouldn't, and whether this, it should be recouched and changed, and words taken out here, words added there. Meanwhile, as you were saying earlier, we've got probably one of the biggest crises several crises, in fact, that we have. We've got power, the power crisis. We've got the problem with the economy, with unemployment, and all of the problems that we all know about. What does it tell us about the state of the ANC today?
I mean, you know, it just shows how far removed the ANC leadership is from the society's problems. I mean, it's extraordinary because the ANC leaders often say, you know, it is the parliament of the people, it is speaking on behalf of the people, it's a leader of, you know, of the people. But they're so far removed from the struggles of people because, I mean, you know, people are struggling down on the ground. ANC members and voters, supporters, of course, are really struggling. But the party leadership is haggling over really side issues and not focusing you know, on the things that's impacting on society, on the voters, and also on the country. I mean, the other two important things really also that should be discussed there is, of course, the electoral bill. We've got a draft electoral bill which the Constitutional Court set, or rather gave a deadline for a new electoral bill that would include independent candidates. Now, why it is an issue is that the ANC's Nasre conference in 2017, and the party came up with a resolution that said that only a party conference can pronounce on electoral changes. And that has been hamstringing both the parliamentary committee of ANC members, MPs there, and also the Home Affairs Minister, who has been dealing from the executive side to get this electoral reform through. So now we have a draft bill which is clear up now, still unconstitutional. The Constitutional Court gave a deadline, but you know, Parliament hasn't moved, the ANC hasn't moved, because both the ANC's parliamentary MPs and the executive is waiting for this policy conference and then the national conference to make a decision. So this is really is important part of, you know, the weakness of our democracy that really has to be resolved. And then for me, the other issue that should also be there on that platform, a policy platform, is the national health, the NHI, which, you know, many ANC ideological groups are pushing for the NHI, which is totally state-led, which is in a sense collapsing the private health sector, which will really potentially collapse South Africa's whole health system. And it would cause, the mass fleeing of really our already scarce health skills. So those are issues that I also would have expected to, you know, to have a quality debate, or that, you know, the delegates should have a quality of debate on these two issues, because they really are very critical to the democracy, but also to the economy itself.
Mm. A follow-up issue coming out of that is we often presume that when policy is made, the intention is that the policy must be implemented. Now, looking at, you know, and I'm thinking here, you know, earlier, you know, I saw William Makhoba, who's the chairperson of Eskom, and he was trying to explain why Eskom has proved to be barely fixable over so many years. And he was saying that that part of the problem is that there's a lot of talk about what should be done, but not much ever gets done because, for example, you know, he was saying people are not assigned tasks. There are no timelines. There are no deliverables. Nobody knows who's responsible for what in particular. So there's a lot of talk, but very little by way of delivery. Now, the ANC is discussing all these policies in this week. Do you think that the ANC is capable of implementing a lot of the things that they're talking about, including what you've just referred to, the national health insurance?
I mean, the big issue, of course, the elephant in the room is state capacity. I mean, the state has failed. So whatever policy is being discussed or adopted almost cannot be implemented. I mean, you know, Dr. Makhoba, chairperson of ESCOM, is actually, he's absolutely right in terms of, you know, the ANC is sitting there discussing policies, but the state cannot deliver. So whatever beautiful crafted policy that comes out of there, if there's any new policy that comes out there, it's unimplementable because, you know, state capacity failure. And one would have expected actually that maybe the policy conference would just spend time on state capacity failure and what to do about it. But, you know, state capacity is missing. In fact, in any of those documents, I mean, the policy documents, well, the policy documents obviously talks about state capacity, but he talks about it in the most vaguest terms, rhetoric, sloganeering, and so on. There's no clear proposals of what should happen. I mean, I was a member of President Ramaphosa's task team that looks at a professionalization of the state. I mean, we gave our report at the beginning of the year, and the idea was that that report, for example, would also go down to the ANC to be discussed even at the policy conference. Now, I mean, I don't see any evidence that those kind of things will be discussed, which I think really are the depressing issues, because the country is in this really big financial crisis, economic crisis, high unemployment, and so on. We really need then a state to deliver. But if it is not part of the policy conference discussion, then it just shows how far removed or how the bubble that the ANC leadership and members who arrive, their delegates, are in relation to where society sits.
So as we wrap it up for this edition of the Politics Weekly, let's can't conclude without talking about the standing of the president currently. You know, because he went to KZN on the weekend. I'd like to hear your take as to, after having been there, you know, there was that debate about whether he should go or not go and all of that. And he seems, for example, when he was talking at the fundraiser, he's still on this this trajectory of talking about fighting corruption, you know, prosecuting people, etc. But one is not quite sure what his standing is, actually. Who he's speaking for? Is he speaking for himself and his jacket? Or is he speaking for the ANC or a substantial portion of the ANC? What's your take? Should we listen to him when he talks, when he says all these things?
Look, he's speaking to a portion of the ANC. Whether it's substantial or not is very questionable. I don't think it's a substantial amount of ANC members and ANC leaders who actually believe that the party can actually rid itself of corruption, because it's the issue of corruption goes to the roots of the ANC, down to the branch level, down to local municipalities, all the way up to, you know, the NEC and government and, you know, departments and whatnot. So the fact that something that has been, you know, proposed or effected rather to deal with the issue of corruption in terms of, you know, the step aside rule is now in question, is now, you know, people are now saying, no, this thing is not being, applied properly, goes to show how inward looking the party is, goes to show how they believe that a leader is a leader, and whether they are accused of corruption or criminality, if they are an ANC leader, they must, you know, have the freedom to lead, regardless of whatever charges, regardless of whatever cloud hangs, you know, on their head. So you get that sense that the ANC leaders or members forget that, you know, there's this entire world out there. There's this entire country. The ANC has about 1 million, just over 1 million, you know, members. Yes, their support ranges around 10 million or so, but you have a country of you know, about 60 million people. So they are so focused in their internal battles of leadership and whatnot that, you know, fighting corruption does not seem to be, you know, a big deal in them. They believe that, you know, you are in government, you are a governing party, you are in charge of so much money. Why should you not able to?
So your assessment of the status of the president currently is what? Is he in a weakened position, or is he in a stronger position? As they go into the policy conference in preparation for the December conference?
This policy conference, Bramak, will be a testing ground. If the president loses the discussion or the debate around the step-aside issue, because that is the core of the dealing with corruption, if he loses that debate and, you know, the policy conference this weekend makes recommendations that it must be scrapped, then the president is definitely weakened. He will have a difficult time in December convincing delegates to come back. But if he wins the debate and perhaps they agree that they must refine it or review the step-aside rule, then perhaps he could have some hope. But This policy conference will test his grip on power.
Mm-hmm. Okay, William. Just lastly, very quickly, do you see him winning the argument this time round?
I mean, so far the president, I think, and to people's surprise, has actually been holding the line in the National Executive Committee of the ANC. And he's, I mean, if you look at all of the other provincial conferences so far, except of course now the KwaZulu-Natal province, he actually, you know, got a smooth ride, and, you know, the first three conferences supported him. And I think the first resistance only started now in KwaZulu-Natal, but then now there's the new thing around Farmgate, which has come in, which wasn't there before, earlier on. And I think this is a really important battle for the president at the policy conference, because his opponents, clearly what his opponents have done, they are using the step-aside rule as the issue that they're going to do their last stand, so to speak, for this conference. Yeah, they want to, because the step-aside rule has been associated with the president so much, although it is a national, ANC National Executive Committee policy, of course. But he's still being associated with the president personally. So they really are going to try to kick that policy at least for touch, you know, to at least to suspend it, if not to scrap it totally. And if the president loses that, really, that battle, it almost will be the end of, you know, of his leadership, because to come out of there losing a policy discussion around the step aside, it'll be very difficult for him to make a comeback at a national conference, because, you know, he will then be mortally wounded.
Oh, okay. Gentlemen, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us on the Politics Weekly in this week. Very interesting times ahead, you know, as the ANC gives us the impression that they are planning the future for all of us, and hopefully, you know, a better future than what we've been experiencing, what with load shedding, unemployment, the state of the economy, etc. We appreciate your time. I'm Mike Siluma. Until next time, do stay safe, stay blessed, and let's do good for our country.